You're listening to We're Only Human, hosted by Ben Eubanks on the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network. We're Only Human focuses and highlights how modern technology and new ways of working are creating a more people-centric workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.h3hr.com.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to We're Only Human, a show focused on finding the human side of the workplace amidst all the advances in technology and innovation and all the other good stuff we're seeing today. With all the crazy things going on weather-wise, I want to take a second and just let everyone know we're thinking about you. Texas, Florida, and everywhere else. You're in our prayers here at the Eubanks household and in a lot of other places as well. You know, last week, I actually met a lady at an event and asked her what she hoped to get out of the conference, and she hesitated for a second before replying. And originally she said, you know, I'm hoping to get some ideas on how to sell engagement to my senior leaders, but she was actually representing Port Houston at the event, which was devastated, obviously, by the storms in the recent weeks. And so she looked at me in the eye and said, how can I even think about this when so many of our people are homeless or just lost everything they had? And my advice to her was pretty simple. Acknowledge it, embrace them, let them know you care about them, not as employees, but as people as well. You know, while I understand that business needs to get done, things, the show must go on at some point, how you handle something like that makes a difference in how your people see you as a company, as an employer, and all that other stuff. You know, while companies don't have souls, per se, this is the time to consider what you do if you did. So just wanted to say to our friends, our HR friends in the affected areas, we're thinking about you. And with that, I need to move on to a quick confession, actually. Today, I have to confess that I'm sharing a show that meets a personal need, a personal question that I've had for a long time. I've always been focused on finding the balance between how do we make sure that we're compliant with how do we make sure that we are focusing on the things that help us to be a leading employer. And to be completely honest with you, and I kind of mentioned the show, I usually skip the legal stuff. I delete the emails saying, you know, here's what's going on. I avoid the sessions at the conferences. Yes, I kind of stay in tune with what's going on, but in general, I don't focus on that stuff. My first supervisor training experience ever had was 2 full days of 8 hours of video each day. Basically, all these lawyers coming on the screen saying, hey, here's all the bad things that can happen. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't allow your employees to do this. And that was the entire thing that we were teaching all of our supervisors on how to lead and how to manage. And one of the very first blog posts I ever wrote years and years ago that surprised me how much attention it got was basically an open letter on training and supervision. And I said, let's stop giving these people such a low bar. Let's don't set this minimum bar and say, don't do anything worse than this or bad things happen. Yes, we need to kind of give them an idea of what that is, but we also need to spend a lot of time on saying, here's what great leadership looks like. Here's what a great employer looks like. Here's how to run the best team you possibly can. And those kind of conversations usually don't have anything to do with FMLA and all these other kind of things. Those are the basics. We need to get those squared away for sure. But what's the tipping point? How do we balance that appropriately? So I hope you enjoy the discussion today with my friend Mike Hoberman. I'm honored to know him. He's a really sharp guy, and this is a balance that he's been able to kind of find with the writing that he's done over the last 10 years or so. I think you'll like the discussion, and on with the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to We're Only Human. This is Ben Eubanks, your host. Today, I'm really excited to bring you a conversation about things like HR strategy, business impact, and compliance. Yes, compliance. You know, if you're a friend of mine, you know that's probably my least favorite topic, but I'm excited to chat about it today because it comes from a guy that I really respect. And so let me bring in our guest, Michael Hoberman. Welcome, Mike.
Thanks, Ben. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. And I think Hoberman, sorry, I mispronounced your name, but we're good to go. as long as I've known you, I can't believe I did that. But anyway, Mike, tell us a little about who you are, what you do, just to give the audience a little background.
Well, I'm an old dog in HR. I've been in this field for probably 35 years, both as a practitioner and as a consultant. And primarily, I was a consultant to small businesses. And I've been in the manufacturing business. I've been in the software business. My client base is spread across a variety of industries. dealing with, you know, here in North Georgia, dealing with yarn and yarn dyeing, but I also have doctor's offices and cabinet makers and pie makers and software companies as my client base. And the commonality between all of those is not the industry. It is the fact that they've got people. And they're typically all companies that are smaller than 100, though not exclusively. And it's you know, the commonality is people issues. Whether you're a nonprofit, whether you're a for-profit company, you still have to deal with those employees on a day-to-day basis. You still have to know about the laws that you have to pay attention to. And so I help those my clients through the challenges of dealing with those laws. And I've been doing that since 1991, and in addition to that, I also teach human resources in the certification classes. I've done that for approximately 19 years. I write a human resources blog, and I've done that. My blog just turned 12 years old on August 31st.
Happy birthday.
And thank you very much. And I've got approximately 2,600 blog posts on that, and then I write for a couple other sites as well. So in total, in the last 12 years, I've probably written 3,000, 3,300 blog posts, something like that. I don't have an exact count, but so I'm in the business of trying to inform people, keep people up to date, and mostly in the compliance arena, but in a couple others as well, and I think we'll talk about that a little bit here.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned, you know, keeping your small business clients kind of in line with the law and compliance and things like that. And again, I kind of alluded to it at the very beginning in the intro, but compliance is one of those things that I've had this love-hate relationship with as an HR professional for a long time. On one hand, yes, I get the whole point of the law is to protect our people and to keep them, you know, keep them safe and so on. But on the other, there are times when the law seems completely counter to what we actually need to do to ensure that our employees have a good working environment and something where they know there's trust and there's, you know, accountability and so on. And so I mentioned to you earlier, and I'll go ahead and share it now. You know, there've been a time in the past where we had a weather event come through. We had to close our office, and to make it easier on all of our employees, we wanted to try to really minimize the impact to them over something that we couldn't control. We gave all of them some hours that they could work off, in quotes, over the next 2 months as a way to, you know, not impact their vacation time if they didn't have any and things like that. And a lot of our employees took us up on that because they needed their paycheck for that time period. Well, you know what happens. A couple months later, the DOL comes by for a quick visit and checks to see, you know, what happened with that non-exempt person that worked 42 hours and didn't get their overtime. And so we had to make that right for her. And again, it wasn't that much money. It wasn't that much, you know, time or difficulty. But at the same time, it made me think, you know, we tried to do something nice for this person, and this is what we had to do. You know, we still had to kind of pay for it in the end. And so compliance is this thing that I don't love, but at the same time, total props to you, because I have followed your blog for probably eight of the last 2 years, reading about the compliance stuff that you write about and everything else. And the thing that I think you do really well is you don't just write about, hey, here's a new law or here's a new court ruling that you need to be aware of, good luck taking care of that, but you write about it in the context of the business. Here's how you need to think about this strategically. Here's how you need to think about how to improve your HR practices and your HR business and things like that. And you also touched on some other things. Again, I want to get into that in a little bit on the future side, but talk about how you balance that, I guess, on the compliance piece of that, the importance of understanding that and not just, you know, hating on it like I always have.
Sure. It is, to me, the compliance part is not, it's not all geared toward protecting the employee, and it's not all geared toward protecting the employer. To me, the law is written to be a balance that provides opportunities for companies to do the best they can do for their employees, but it also provides opportunities for the employer to protect their business. I mean, let's really think about it. As a human resources person, a lot of us would like to consider ourselves to be champion of the people. But in reality, what we have to be is we have to be a champion of the business. We're there to protect the interests of the business by making sure that our employees are as well protected and as well suited as possible for that job. But it is there is no job, there is no paycheck if the business goes out of business because it has violated some law or gotten, you know, there are a lot of small businesses that if they get fined $1 million, they're going to go out of business. So nobody is served by the business really being punished. And I think the laws are a balance between those two. And the human resources person or the office manager, whoever happens to be in charge of human resources, needs to be aware of that balance and needs to realize, you know, that they're sort of the fulcrum between the employees and the business and need to make sure that business is being done correctly and the business is being protected and employees are subsequently being treated correctly and being protected by that law as well. So to me, compliance is where the feet meet the street. It is, you know, a lot of people think human resources is employee engagement. A lot of people think that human resources is sourcing or recruitment or talent acquisition, to use the newer terminology. But to me, it is where do companies get in trouble? They get in trouble in the interaction between their employees and typically supervisors. And the HR person's got to be there to balance out that relationship, to make sure that those employees are being treated correctly, but also to make sure that the company's being protected by that supervisor not doing something stupid. One of the things from reading my blog, you know that I occasionally write about stupid HR. Well, in that term, I'm not really talking about stupid HR people. I'm talking about actions that are being done by the company that would be considered stupid HR, whether it's being done by a supervisor or owner of the business or president of the company or a manager. You know, we're there to make sure that the company is being protected from those individuals and their actions. And typically it's not purposeful actions. It is sometimes. And there are some people who purposely do some illegal things, and I've written about that a couple times as well. But generally, most companies don't break the law on purpose. Or as a lawyer friend of mine says, law is not broken on commission, it is broken by omission, that most of the laws that are broken or most of the mistakes that are made, you know, not on purpose, but made because of a lack of knowledge of the rules and regulations. The stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, Fair Labor Standards Act, Family Medical Leave Act, ADA, all of those things are fairly complicated, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of knowledge to keep up with that. Even attorneys have to go research stuff. So, you know, the HR department, the HR person needs to be making a fairly consistent effort to stay educated to help maintain that balance.
Excellent. So, what I'd like to do is talk to you about something else you love to write about, which is kind of being a futurist, because you focus not just on, you know, the compliance piece. You know, here's a new court ruling, or here's a way to, you know, some company did this stupid thing and paid $1 million. You know, don't do that yourself. You not only share those kind of things, but you also focus on this futurist focus and try to really look at ways that we can prepare for what's next. We can become more valuable to the business by understanding the trends and things like that. So I'm curious how you see balancing those two things, because you said a minute ago, you know, HR is not about is not engagement exclusively. You know, it compliance forms a big part of that. And so I'm curious how you balance those two viewpoints, because it's so common for me to see. Well, I'll let you answer that, and then I'll throw another comment.
Sure. Well, and I'm going to start by backing up a little bit And going back about 5 or 6 years, when I first started writing about the future, and I started doing it enough to where I turned it into a consistent column on my blog called Future Friday, where I then talk about something that's going to happen, you know, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, that I feel people in human resources need to be aware of today. Because if it's happening, you know, well, 5 years ago when I started, or 6 years ago when I started doing this, we were all talking about the year 2020, and it sounded so far out in the future. But we're now just shy of 2 years away from the year 2020, and of all that stuff we were talking about 3, 4, 5 years ago is going to come to be in the year 2020, you need to be prepared about it today. And as I was starting to talk about that stuff, and I would go to SHRM meetings and I would talk to people about, you know, what are they doing to pay attention to the future, they would all say, oh, we don't have any chance to pay attention to the future. We, you know, we're paying attention to what happened yesterday. We're correcting those issues. Yet the most frequent complaint that I had from HR people was the fact that they never had an opportunity to be proactive in their jobs. And that's the one thing they really hated about their jobs, was they were having to be reactive to what happened yesterday and not be proactive to what was going to happen tomorrow. So I started writing that and saying, all right, I'm getting rid of your excuse. I'm telling you what's going to be happening, or potentially what's going to be happening tomorrow. And here's how you need to be prepared for it, and you need to think about it and start putting some plans in place so that when that heavier increased use of robots arrives in your workplace in 2020, it doesn't catch you by surprise. You're now prepared for it. You know what the issues are. You know both what the safety issues are and what the engagement issues are, and what compliance issues are going to be associated with that, so that when finally you all flip the switch and you've now got robots in the workplace, you're prepared for it. And you're not now playing catch up. So I started writing this because I wanted people to be prepared for what's happening in the future. And there's all kinds of stuff. And I am in my blog, I've included all kinds of topics, not just robots, but also the use of artificial intelligence. Sitting here on my desk, I have the Amazon Alexa that she just heard her name and perked up, is listening to what I'm saying now. And it's, you know, that's basic artificial intelligence. I can use her to find out information without having to do anything else, just by speaking. Well, we're going to have a lot of that in the human resources department in the next 5 years. A lot of HR is going to get done by artificial intelligence. As a matter of fact, a lot of HR people may end up losing their jobs if they're not careful, because employees will not need to have them. They will have an artificial intelligence part of HR that they can ask a question to, that they will be recognized by this artificial intelligence. So what do we need an HR person? There's an answer for that, but which I don't really want to get into at the moment, because it's going to be long-winded. But it is, you know, that's why people in HR need to be paying attention to the future today. You can't just pay attention particularly to that compliance issue that happened yesterday. That's important. You need to know what's going on, and you need to write the situation. But at the same time, you need to set some time aside to say, what are going to be the compliance issues next year? What are potentially going to be the compliance issues after that? How is our workforce going to look different? You know, how are generations changing our workforce? How is technology changing our workforce? What is the nature of learning going to look like? You know, in fact, I wrote a blog post on that the other day, and it's about the fact that there is this thing called micro-learning, that right now when we train people, what do? We sit them in a classroom and we give them training, or we hand them a manual and we have them go through and do that training. Well, people are discovering that people aren't learning like that anymore, that those long periods of classrooms of studying do not work as effectively as bursts of 10 or 15 minutes worth of learning. And so you can actually have an employee working on a task, they come to a part where they're not sure about, rather than stopping everything, they take a break from it and they go and they find a lesson on it and they learn what they need to do in relevance to the task that they're working on. It cements that working more, but they're not spending a whole lot of time on doing it. And companies need to be aware of that. That's the way training is going to be done in the future. We're going to get rid of classrooms, and we're going to get rid of manuals, and we're going to have interactive videos that are fed to employees in 10 or 15 minute increments, and that's how they're going to be learning. So that's, you know, that is that kind of thing that you need to be paying attention to, so that as you transition your company and hire new employees, you're going to be aware of what are going to be the best ways to learn. Offices, how you set your office up. Those are you know, what your workspace looks like is going to be radically different in the future. You need to be aware of that, so that the next time you're going to do a big purchase of furniture, that you're not sinking money into stuff that's going to be irrelevant in another 2 or 3 years after that. So that's the reason I want people to be aware, is that when they come up on these things and they see the change, you know, they understand the way things are moving and how the changes are going to occur, that when they see that change starting to occur in their workplace because of technology or new generations of employees or just different way of doing product changes and products and those kinds of things, that rather than the HR beast person being caught with their pants down, they are ahead of the curve. They're ready for it. They can step up and say to management, yeah, I've read about this, and here are some of the thoughts I've had. Here are the things that we need to be paying attention to. Or even better yet, suggesting to management, here's a trend that's coming down the pike, and it's going to hit us about this time because I've been doing this reading and I've been paying attention to this, and here's what we need to be taking a look at. And then that way you look strategic. So that to me is why it's important.
I want to touch on a couple of things you mentioned, because I think there's some good stuff in there. One is the micro-learning piece. I did some research on that last year, and I don't know if, again, I haven't read your blog post. I got it saved in my feed reader on the learning piece. I don't know if you talked about the forgetting curve, but there's actually a curve that kind of demonstrates how quickly we forget things if we're just, the learning is dumped in our lap, and we don't have a chance to refresh, to use it, to really put that into practice, or if we're not, again, boosted on that in any way, it just goes away. You know, basically half what we learn within a week or two is gone. And so the way I envision that is, how would you design your training differently if you knew that 50% of the money you were spending on it today is just going to be gone? You're pouring, you know, half that money down the drain. And that's the challenge I give when I talk about learning to, you know, L&D leaders, is to focus on that and think about that from that perspective. But one of the other
that's a great point. Yeah.
It astounds me to when I see it, that curve every time. And so it's a good reminder, and it's definitely a good need for us to improve that. One other thing, you mentioned the Alexa piece, and I don't have one in front of me, so it's not going off right now, but the AI piece and having it be very, very integrated into the workplace. Infor is doing some really neat work in this space. I got to go to their event two months ago now, and they have their new AI tool called Coleman that they're putting into their system. And one of the things it's going to start doing, not just basic things like you talking to Alexa, hey, what's my vacation balance? And it will talk to you and share with you, but it'll be proactive. Hey, you haven't given Bob any feedback in the last 3 weeks. Would you like to give him, you know, feedback on some of his work? Or you've had a vacation day since February. Would you like to, you know, schedule a day off? And so it will start being proactive and looking at your patterns and behaviors. And over time, it gets to know you and learns your patterns and everything else, and just gets smarter and smarter. So there's some really neat things happening there.
That's cool.
One thing, again, I mentioned this to you earlier. When I see the presentation list, you know, at the SHRM conference, the annual SHRM conference, or even at our local events at NASHRM, when I see these different events, I know that those that are focused on compliance, you know, hey, here's your FMLA update, or here's your I-9s, you know, the latest and greatest on I-9s, we're going to get higher participation in those things than we would an event that says, hey, here's how to work on, you know, social recognition, or here's how to, you know, make a more engaging workplace. why do you think it's more appealing for people to attend some of those other things? Is it because they can prove the value, because they can justify it in a business sense? I'm curious.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why, you know, people were that was the initial argument that probably most people gave to their bosses to be able to justify going to the conference. I'm going to be able to take this session and this session and this session and this session, and I'm going to come back loaded with all this information. But I have noticed at the last several national conferences, the other sessions that are fairly heavily attended are ones where you have somebody talking about the future, where they have, you've got a futurist that's talking about what the world's going to look like, and there were several of them that I attended in the last session, the last conference in New Orleans, and they were pretty heavily attended. So people, there is an interest in what's happening with the future as well, because so much is being written about that now. So much is being, you know, just in the general news, not just in HR news, but it certainly is leaking its way into HR news, but just in the general news. You see stuff about the future all the time in Forbes and stuff in Business Week that starts getting beyond the HR suite and gets into the C-suite, where you have executives that are reading that information and saying, maybe we need to start paying attention to this as well. And they start making comments in meetings about the future. And if you get a smart HR person, they will pick up on that and start to talk about how is the world of work going to change for us in particular, with our particular employee population. How is technology going to affect us, and what do we need to do as far as retraining people, or what do we need to be prepared to do, you know, all of those kinds of things. So it's gaining popularity. I've got a program called 7 Steps to Becoming a Practical HR Futurist, where I actually, you know, give people suggestions on what they can do during their week and what they need to be paying attention to. And ultimately, the advice is to, you need to put aside 5% of your time and spend time on the internet, spend time reading, spending time taking a look outside of HR magazines and paying attention to futurist magazines and specialty magazines that are talking about what the changing world of work is going to look like, how we're going to be affected, so that you can then start taking a look at that information, pay attention to the trends, pay attention to the mega trends, and start applying those to your particular organization. And ask the question, all right, I'm reading about this mega trend as far as education. How is this going to affect my company in particular? If this happens as a trend, how is, you know, my ABC company going to be affected by that? How's my employee population going to look different? How am I going to have to do different training? What kind of retraining am I going to have to do? Am I going to be displacing people? So that you're asking those questions about your business in particular with those trends that you have identified as being relevant to your organization. And, you know, if you've got an HR department of several people, you can parcel that out, have everybody look at particular aspects of that. Or if you're the HR person of one, or the HR department of one, or even you're not even the official HR department, you can still spend a little bit of time and start thinking about some of those things and identify those trends that are going to affect your workplace. And as a result of that, you should be able to make some good strategic or ask some good strategic questions that may help management make some decisions about where they're going to go in the next 2 to 3 to 5 years. I hope everybody's company is looking that far out. If not, maybe you might even be able to get them to start looking a little further out and not living just in a response mode, but in a preactive mode that you're arranging what's going to happen. So, you know, I think for the good HR person that wants to be proactive, this is an opportunity to be really proactive in your business. This is an opportunity to be strategic and, you know, and suggest what's coming down the pike and what you need to be paying attention to and what the alternative responses could be to the changes in the industry, to the changes in business, to the change in the political structure, whatever you may be taking a look at that's important to you. And it will, you know, for the individual HR person, it increases your value to the organization. And if it doesn't increase it to your organization, it will increase it to somebody else. So it's to me, it's a good, you know, job or resume building exercise to have that kind of outlook.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the things that I always push back on people when we're talking about, back when we were building out a job rec, and they'd say, we need, 7 years of experience, and say, well, let's be clear. Do you need that guy that had 1 year of experience seven times and he's never grown, he's never learned anything, he's never done anything different? Or do you need that person that started out here and ended up here, somewhere else? They've grown, they developed, they're managing people, their skills are broader. Which one of those two things matter most to us? Because they're different things, and I want us to make sure we understand, because we want those people that are looking for growth and development, and they want to grow themselves. One of our mutual acquaintances, Trish McFarland, she did a Disrupt HR talk a couple years ago on Disrupt Yourself, and it was focused on taking 30 days to really change the way that you approach HR, to sharpen yourself. And some of the things that she talks about in that presentation are exactly what you're talking about here. She was more radical in terms of probably more than 5% putting towards that, but even 5% of your time is a really small investment just to start moving down that path, to make yourself better informed, to make yourself sharper, again, whether it's for your current company or for the next one down the line that's looking for something more out of HR than just check the block, are we compliant, go back and sit down and be quiet until we need you again. It's really to look for that chance to contribute in a more meaningful way. Again, you used the word proactive a couple of times. I think it's definitely the right way to think about it.
Well, another way to think about it, too, and everybody's always talking about this, is one of the things that supposedly HR is supposed to be is agile, which is supposed to be able to adapt quickly. And I use, having studied monkeys and chimpanzees in a former life, one of the things that analogies I use is, we all considered, gibbons, which are an ape that swings through the trees, to be very agile. But for them to be very agile, they can't be looking at the last limb that they were on. They have to be looking at the limb that's ahead of them. And not only the limb that's ahead of them, but two or three limbs ahead of them. So using that analogy, if you want to be agile in HR, you have to be looking ahead at the future. You have to know what's coming so that you can move in that direction as needed by the demands of the business, rather than suddenly you've got to grab that limb and you hadn't been looking at it and it's no longer there and now you fall, you fail. So, agile HR to me is being very future aware and paying attention to what's potentially going to happen 2 years from now or 3 years from now or 5 years from now. I mean, there's some monumental changes that are supposed to happen not only in the world but in the workplace in between now and 2022 and the next 5 years and even beyond that, the 5 years beyond that. And, that 10-year time frame is going to go so quickly that if you're not prepared to deal with it, in the next couple of years, you're going to be out of luck. Your company, you as an individual, will be in a non-competitive position. You were talking about the fact that asking the question, do you want somebody that has 7 years of experience or 1 year of experience seven times? The other question that needs to be asking that is that 7 years of experience that person had even relevant today? Is it going to be relevant tomorrow? And if you don't know what's going to be relevant tomorrow, then you can't answer that question.
Absolutely. This has been a great conversation, Mike, and I really appreciate you sharing some of your insights and expertise with us. If someone wants to read any of those 3 billion blogs that you've written over the years, if someone wants to follow up with you, if they want to connect with you, if they want to hear, check out some more of the futurist stuff or even just the compliance piece, either one of them, as you've kind of showed us today, are both valuable. How can they get in touch with you?
The easiest way is to look for OmegaHRSolutions.com. And that's my website, and the front page of the website is the blog. And I have information about the company and all the services I provide on later pages than that. But the front page is the blog. That's where I want everybody to hit first. Certainly, you just Google Feature Friday or Google some of the other topic. I usually show up fairly quickly in that Google search. You can also follow me on Twitter, just at Mike Haberman, M-I-K-E-H-A-B-E-R-M-A-N, and that links to my blog every day. And then I post it on LinkedIn all the time as well. And there it's Michael D. Haberman. And you can go and take a look at my profile. So lots of ways to find me, and I'm happy to answer questions and make observations and talk to anybody about this information. And because it's a passion of mine, my goal as a human resources professional, as a consultant anyways, is to always make sure that companies are doing better HR. And better HR to me is not just being compliant, it's also being prepared. And that's why I like to talk about those two subjects.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Mike. Hey, for everybody out there, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, that guy sounds pretty sharp, not me, Mike, I'm talking about, you are welcome to grab a hold of him. Actually, our local chapter is going to be bringing Mike in next week to speak about a couple different things. We're going to have him lead a couple sessions. We're really excited about having him there, and he loves to go and speak. I'm speaking on your behalf right now, Mike, but we've talked about this in the past. I know you like to get out there and share. Again, you just mentioned you're passionate about this stuff. So anybody else you want to check it out, feel free to ring Mike, check him out on the website. And again, just thank you everybody else for joining us today. This has been another fun episode of We're Only Human. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I will catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to We're Only Human with Ben Eubanks on the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network. To learn more and to listen to the show archives for We're Only Human and all the HR Happy Hour Podcast Network shows, go to www.h3hr.com. And remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour Network podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast player app.